This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Now, the big story of the day, undoubtedly the decision by Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which has come as a bit of a surprise, and markets have really liked this news with the oil price plummeting over the last few hours and all the other repercussions as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I think mentioning that the oil price specifically is kind of our confirming indicator here. We have seen oil back and forth for a while, jumping between, you know, at the highest points, almost to $120 per barrel. And then oscillating back between there and about $90 a barrel. So today is the first day that we are trading at the lowest point really since the onset of the war. You know, we're trading at 81.3 here on WTI. And so that is a sharp move lower here to confirm what has been the headline today, that Iran is declaring the Strait of Hormuz completely open for the remainder of the truce. And the U.S. also responding, saying that the blockade will remain in place in the meantime for the remainder of the truce. But then Trump, of course, layering on that negotiations look like they are finalizing. So at least in the eyes of the market, good news all around. We see stock markets continuing to move higher. S&P 500 is at a all-time trading high here as we speak. Back well above at this point now the highs that were made before the onset of the Iran war. So, you know, again, markets absolutely celebrating this. We also see softness in the dollar continuing, which I think is another confirming idea here. When you think about, you know, DXY trading now at under 98. At one point, we were crossing over 100 again. So, definitely cooling off a little bit. We see most major currencies doing great against the dollar here today. The euro is up, the pound is up against the dollar, and the yen is up against the dollar. We also see the Swiss franc strengthening once more, and the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, and Kiwi dollar. Pretty much all across the board, we see dollar weakness and counter currency strength, which makes sense, right? Because we're just reversing now the trade that was put on with the war situation, right? The flush the flush in other currencies came at the cost due to strengthening in the U.S. dollar. That war premium, that risk premium, seems to, for now, be being faded. That being said, the question now, I think, Johnny, that we'll be discussing in coming weeks, we'll now turn our attention to, okay, well, what kind of damage to the inflation story was actually done during this conflict? We can't ignore the reality that infrastructure destruction took place, that oil prices remain elevated for, well elevated for about a month, and even before then had been on the rise. Inflation had been sticky beforehand. So what I think is interesting for us to discuss is this idea that, okay, the stock markets are well at their all-time highs. You know, at least in the U.S., if just taking a glance here at international stock markets, you have the FTSE 100, where you're at, is near its all-time highs, not quite there. The Nikkei, back to all-time highs. Chinese stocks are up on this. So you do see a rally in global equities, softness in the dollar, etc. The question, though, really comes to what's happening in the bond market. Because if we think about this, before the war, we were hearing from Jerome Powell at the end of last year, kind of taking a hawkish tone, despite the market thinking we're going to get a bunch of rate cuts. Powell was already kind of in the hawkish camp, pointing to sticky inflation. And the jobs market since then has kind of firmed. And so now you're sitting with a situation which is very interesting. You have stock markets at fresh all-time highs, but the bond market has not, to a full extent, erased the war move. And what I mean by that is that if we take a look at the 10-year yield from the low here in early March went down. It was at 3.93, let's call it. It jumped all the way up to 4.48. It has retraced of that move that I just mentioned. It's retraced about almost half of that move, whereas stocks, as I mentioned, have fully retraced and even gained past the losses that they experienced during the war. So what I'm trying to get at here is that the inflation challenges that the war introduces are not gone away, And yet, the interesting thing is that risk assets are treating it like everything is perfectly normal. And I'm not saying that to say that stocks can't, you know, continue to climb, because they certainly could. There are other reasons that stocks are up. Like, for example, as we discussed on Wednesday with Christian, he pointed out that, you know, we've had a really strong start to earnings season with banks reporting good numbers. So to reiterate that, there are other reasons why the stock market is higher. But I do think that it is worth just keeping an eye on the bond market, which kind of still seems to be baking in an expectation of sticky inflation. And we know that the jobs market has been a little bit stronger than expected recently.
There's an element of wishful thinking about it, isn't there, in some markets, where in a sense we've almost stepped back from the abyss because things were looking extremely serious. There was talk of flights not being able to go anymore, problems with the lack of jet fuel, fertilizer. You know, these are basics that need to run economies. And it does look like we've avoided that. But what you're saying is, rather than taking this rather optimistic view of many markets that, oh, yeah, we can get back to the beginning again. On the other side, there are commentators suggesting that we're not going to get back to what is or what was normal for months, if not years, in terms of the oil price because of things like damage to refineries and the uncertainty going forward. And of course, amongst all of this is the idea that maybe this ceasefire will not hold and will not be renewed and we'll be back to square one again. But there is a note of optimism and positivity today, that's for sure, right?
Certainly. And I have two things to point out, because what you just said there was worth discussing a little bit further. The first one, in regards to the tone of optimism, one indicator that listeners I would encourage to look up for yourself is called the put-to-call ratio. And the put-to-call ratio is a simple ratio that takes a look at the volume of calls versus the volume of puts traded in the stock options market. The reason I'm bringing it up is that yesterday, we had one of the most bullish tilted options exchange days in like history that I can think of. I'm sure there's many instances of very, very bullish moments like this, but we had an extremely, extremely tilted in favor of call volume, which would tell you that people were making a big bet. Many investors, traders, again, taking the optimistic side and betting that the stock market specifically would move higher and continue its charge here, which is entirely possible that it does. I'm not trying to come across as like this is, you can't believe it. But rather, when we look at yields, when we look at some of the other markets, there is some tone here of some markets not believing it as much as others. And I think that that's kind of an interesting thing to point out. Another thing to your point about what kind of economic damages could have been done. You and I are not the only ones discussing this. The IMF actually lowered global growth forecasts due to what has already happened, not necessarily what is going to happen next, but the damage done, the impact that the elevated oil price you know, could do to the economy in the rolling forward months and year. I think that's also important that we think about, like, we talked before the war about how the UK had specifically been dealing with a state of possible stagflation, right? Slowing growth, elevated inflation. And war certainly does not help that circumstance. So the question is, will for the months to come, places like the UK, places like the US, deal with a possible hit to economic growth while prices remain sticky as the what could be a pass-through inflation situation still take its course, right? That elevated gas price for a period of time here, does that do any sort of irreparable damage in the meantime to you know, economies of the world? And that's the question I think now markets are turning to. And clearly, you know, there is a lot of optimism baked in. It is a good point that you make that if something does turn and go wrong in the Middle East, we could very quickly snap back the other way in regards to sentiment.
Okay, Nick, let's go. By the way, fascinating insight from you. Thank you for that. Let's go into the next few days and look out for some of the highlights, in your opinion, that we should have in the next week or so.
Yes, for sure. So again, kind of back to some sense of normality, although I still think it's worth keeping an eye on everything going on with the Middle East, because this is not necessarily 100% certainly behind us. We are making headway in negotiations, but we'll have to keep an eye on that over the weekend. We know the weekend can have startling moves on the Sunday open. That has been a theme for, or the Monday opening, depending on where you are in the world. That's been the theme the last few weeks. In terms of next week, we have Canadian CPI and Kiwi CPI, or New Zealand CPI, on Monday. On Tuesday, we have some UK economic data in the form of jobs reports, the claimant count change, and then we also have US retail sales. And this is interesting. I'm seeing here that on Tuesday, we have the Fed chair designate Kevin Warsh testifying. So that will be interesting to see what that brings here as we ready for that as well. We also have UK CPI on Wednesday, and on Thursday, our normal unemployment claims, as well as a list of UK, Europe, and US PMI numbers. And then on Friday, we have UK retail sales. Big week for UK Fed commentary and a continued watch of this US-Iran situation.
Excellent. Have a great weekend, Nick. We will speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.